Welcome back into the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on a Saturday live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa. And we want to bring in our friend Mike Piranio. He is the director of race and sports at the Mandalay Bay. Mike, good to speak with you again. And Wes and I were just talking about the NFL draft. We're only 12 days away looking at the BetMGM app here. You guys really have a nice menu of offerings to bet on the NFL draft. And that's really become the buzz topic here at VSiN, of course, being legalized in Nevada not that long ago, that you could actually bet on the NFL draft. Are you guys starting to see some handle trickle in this market?
Yeah, it's people have been kind of chomping at the bit, and we actually came out a little earlier than we normally would for some of this stuff. Even season total wins, we're usually pretty particular about how early we put those out, but it's definitely drawing a lot of excitement. And then, you know, next Friday and then Saturday with the Derby and some UFC next weekends, or the May 1st weekends, turning out to be quite an event here. So it looks like a really good weekend to be in Vegas.
Mike, I'll go through the menu here, just kind of some of the things that are currently offered here at BetMGM. Obviously, the first overall pick, second, third overall pick, you have props for that. First position drafted, really, for all the positions from a player prop standpoint. Total number of players drafted in round one by position. Also, what the position of the first drafted player is for all of the teams. It's really an extensive menu that you guys already have up here. And then certain first round picks that we know are kind of going the first round by the mocks in terms of where they're going to go. Any particular props you've seen the most action on so far?
You know, there's been a huge interest on this third overall pick because of the quarterback situation. So, I mean, there's been some big bets, and some of them been wrong, trying to figure out who's going to, before the trades and everything, who's especially with the 49ers, trying to figure out what people are going to do. It seems like the season wins are always one of our best. People love the season wins, and which is surprising because usually the general betting public, they're more interested in return on the money and parlays, et cetera, or futures, where these season win totals are, you know, pretty much a straight bet with you're either right or wrong, and you're usually laying a little bit of a juice unless we were off on their opening number. Then sometimes we raise the juice on it before we move the number off whatever it's at, for obvious reasons. But, yeah, the season win totals, especially sharps, love those. And it's a tough game, especially with injuries. You'd never know for sure on these things. But there's so much stuff with the draft and the NFL now. I got to give BetMGM and the traders a huge applause, because that's a lot of homework to figure out all those different props and especially with the draft.
Yeah, you've got the schedules yet to be released. I don't think those are out yet, are they? And then you've got the draft coming up, so putting up the season win totals, definitely an admirable task for sure. Mike, Wes talked about who's going to be selected third overall, and that's really been one of the hottest markets. Like you say, we saw Mac Jones be the favorite there. He was at minus 300 at BetMGM not too long ago. Now Justin Fields has become the favorite. He had his pro day earlier this week where a lot of teams went to go watch his workout, including Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, who occupy that third pick. Justin Fields now at minus 140, and Mac Jones is the second choice at plus 110. We know, don't hide from us there. We know you're a pretty sharp handicapper as well as an odds maker, too. What's your opinion on this one? Our Michael Lombardi has been pretty convinced for a while that it would be Mac Jones. We've seen the Shanahan, both Mike and his father, or Mike, the father of Kyle, we've seen both Shanahans really kind of go toward this type of quarterback over the course of time, but obviously the betting market looking like it's going to be Justin Fields. What is your opinion on where that third pick will be headed?
Well, it's, you know, the public's going to bet whatever they see the most on, and with Fields' pro days and his workouts, I think people were shocked at how fast, and especially how fast and quick he is. But be honest with you, I've seen Clemson quarterback play, and he seems like he's the best pro prospect. It's interesting. I think there was an article this week, maybe in Sports Illustrated, I can't remember where it was at, so I don't want to source it, but saying how everyone's going for the running quarterbacks, and it seems like they're shifting to the new type of quarterback who can, is mobile and runs. But when you look at teams in the Super Bowl, it's, you know, 10 out of the last 12 years, something ridiculous. It's always a drop back passer that isn't mobile, guys that can read their keys and check down and get the ball to where it needs to be depending on the defense. So a lot of people are going for, you know, athletic and quarterbacks that can run and pass. But, you know, the results still show that if you have a drop back passer that isn't mobile but knows how to check down, you're going to be far better off in the long run.
Mike, the NFL draft is a relatively immature market because it's pretty new. It's only been around for really a few years, really on both sides of the counter for players and for bookmakers. But I thought you made a really good point there in terms of bettors and also odds makers are going to move the numbers in terms of what they hear and what they read from all these NFL insiders, the Adam Schefter types and the Jay Glazer types, et cetera, Pro Football Talk as well. But one of the interesting dynamics of doing something like this, where it's more of a known commodity if you're just betting an individual game in an individual sport, is these GMs and these agents, they lie to the media and they put things out there that they want out there, and then the market reacts to that. So how has this gone for you guys, having these up, I know, only for a couple years? Because I've talked to some bookmakers who are like, you know what, we really take a lick in here on the NFL draft because this is such a new market. And everybody on each side of the counter really has the same information.
Yeah, it's tough, and I don't recall us ever putting out anything until after the draft. This seems like a strange year where everyone's in a race to get it out first, which gives the bettors a little bit of an opportunity. We can't be right on everything. I know we've talked about that, like with golf and stuff. There is so much available for wagering. It would take a Herculean effort to be right on everything, even if you're a trader. So it's a good time in sports to be watching things and looking and picking your spots if you're just doing it because you're interested in making some money for entertainment purposes. But, you know, we can't be right about everything when there's this much massive amount of information. And, you know, the NFL's king. So if we're going to have the most bets, it's got to be in the NFL. So we're expanding this out. And, boy, I don't know. I still remember we were going to have the draft here. I was looking forward to that. I just can't see a better place to have the draft. I could see them closing the strip and having 300,000 people, knock on wood, when everything's back and we could all be together. But down the strip, this time of year with the weather we have, it would be fantastic. I hope they revisit that and get it here as soon as possible because we can handle it here.
Mike, I think you and I both would make that a favorite, that Las Vegas will get the draft here pretty soon. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm hoping that happens here pretty quick. It would be fantastic. And of course, with the Raiders here and everything, Las Vegas, certainly the new darling in the NFL as far as a city. Let's talk about some of the other sports and where your handle is today. You've got a big baseball game. What a game last night between the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers. They talk about, you know, it feels like a playoff atmosphere. It really did. Those fans were on fire. Even though it was a shorthanded crowd as far as numbers, they were really jacked up about that game that ended up going to extra innings. Have you seen a lot of movement on that one? And then you also have a couple of big games in the NBA coming up here pretty soon between the Jazz and the Lakers, and then later on the Warriors and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we took a very large bet this two or three days ago on the Lakers to win the championship. And to me, that was an amazing to bet a decent size money. It wasn't six figures, but it was big enough where it caught our attention. And with all the way the West is loaded this year, I mean, the Lakers could get healthy and come back when it gets to playoff time, but they need to get healthy for them to be a big favorite. It's amazing to me how people bet anything that's minus anything on a future. That seems like a bad bet. We're holding your money for months and you don't know what's going to happen. And to get, I think it was minus 175 or something. So we did take a big bet on some NBA already. That baseball game was definitely almost a World Series quality game. The only thing I can say about it is it was 4.5 hours or something. I went to the Dodgers home opener, and it was like 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was like if baseball could figure out a way to make their games 2 hours and 20 minutes or 2.5 hours, they'd be way ahead of the game, because how enjoyable is it if you don't have to sit there for 4.5 hours? I mean, you have to be a diehard fan. But that was such a good game, and those two teams, you know, It may discourage San Diego to have that happen to him. I don't know how it's going to affect him psychologically, but that can't be a good thing to have happen to him like that, to lose in extra innings and really have that game. But those two teams both look loaded for bear, and it all boils down to who gets injured and who doesn't.
My ticket riders and supervisors across Las Vegas are standing up and applauding for you saying we need to make these games shorter, because what happens, that game goes late, especially if it's on a Friday night like last night, and they got to stay late and get a little bit of extra overtime and wait for people watching in the book to cash those tickets. So I was up late watching that game last night. I now appreciate living on the West Coast more, because I was an East Coaster my whole life, and I would have been up at 2:30 and just, you know, been half yawn, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it. So I know at 11:30 it's like, hey, I got another hour or two, I can easily make it with this one. But Mike, did want to ask you, we've got fight night tonight, not just in the octagon, also in the boxing ring. There of course is UFC Vegas right here at UFC Apex. Kelvin Gastelum, Robert Whittaker, the main event on that fight. But we also got a little boxing card down in Atlanta, Triller Fight Club, and the fight that's been getting the most discussion, the YouTuber Jake Paul. I don't know what else he does other than to call him a YouTube guy in this age of social media. He is fighting former UFC fighter Ben Askren, who is a college national wrestling champion at Missouri, in a boxing match. You guys are currently at minus 170 on Paul, 140 on Askren. Are you getting more handle on the UFC, or are you getting a decent handle on this boxing exhibition we have tonight?
You know, a little bit of both. We took a pretty substantial bet on kind of a strange bet, but we took it on Chase Sherman. It's just minus 105 when we bet it. But the boxing, you know, at some point, I get a little worried, because I'm a huge boxing fan and I'm a purist. And at some point, they're going to make this too much. I mean, we had McGregor and fighting boxing, fighting Mayweather, which I thought was not a good thing. And now we've got YouTube people, and I hope besides YouTube, he's definitely working out 10 hours a day, because he's going to need it. And then at some point, if it gets too much, you know, at some point somebody's going to get seriously injured or killed in the ring, and then everyone's going to go, well, what happened? But I'm sorry, he's amateur. This fight should not be happening, in my opinion, and that's probably against what everyone else thinks. But it's at some point it's going to get too much, and I just don't see how this can continue and keep the integrity of sports and boxing, especially because it has a long history of pretty good boxing in history. So it doesn't seem like they should mix these sports, and I think they're looking for trouble. Something's going to happen one of these days, and it's not going to be good.
Mike, a couple things before we let you go. First of all, you mentioned the season win totals for the NFL, and this is typically a sharp bettors market. Have you seen any early action where some people are coming in hot and heavy on one side or another?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, and you can tell by the juice on these. If we haven't moved the number, you can look at the juice. And we haven't gotten a lot yet. I mean, the sharp guys came in right away the minute we opened it up. But you're looking at Washington, the over 8, is the juice has gone up to 130. Seahawks over 9.5 is pretty high juice, too, 135. You can kind of monitor those. If you don't mind giving up a half, eventually, when they're minus 135, we may go up a half win, and then you might get back to minus 110. So sometimes if you don't care about the extra half a win, you might want to wait and see if we move it down or up. But, season win totals, we've had some pretty – and for obvious reasons, we had some action on Cleveland. They've fortified their D-backs, and then they made some moves again. They look And having two running backs that can both play this year, their offense is fine. If they can shore up the defense, they look a pretty strong candidate.
All right, my man. Finally, the golf. Who's your pick for the RBC Heritage? Did you have Stuart Sink prior to the tournament beginning?
No, I didn't have Stuart Sink. And I was actually at the Dodger home opener and played Riviera in golf and went to Santa Anita. So I didn't get to bet this week. But last week was very good for me. I paid for my trip. If you remember, I think we talked about Rory being in his head a little bit because of DeChambeau and trying to meet his distance. And Kepka's coming back for 28 days off injury, and they had both those guys were matched up with two different golfers, so it was like giving the four-team parlay away. And I think a couple of those matchups were over because the guys are, I don't think McIlroy made the cut. Maybe both of them were over after the Saturday,
right
before Saturday. So it was a good week last week for me, and I took the week off this week because I was having fun.
All right, well, very good. Good for you. And next time I take a week off and want to play Riviera, I know who to call.
I could probably make that happen.
All right. I like that.
You need to get me in the L.A. Country Club, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what I can do. I get flattered this time every year. I'm in the business of making tee times for people, and every now and then I get a call. Hey, Brady, can you get my guest out at Augusta National?
No. Yeah.
I can't pull that one off. Mike, have a great Saturday. We'll do it again next week. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, guys. Good luck to everyone.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, that is Mike Piranio, the director of race and sports at the Mandalay Bay. Good golf better, good handicapper, and it was that battle of the bookies in the Gaming Today publication where, what, he finished second?
Yeah, did very well, made the playoffs for that. So Mike knows his stuff on the NFL especially.
He sure does. Baseball scores, it is 6-2 in favor of the Nationals. Now in the top of the ninth inning, the Arizona Diamondbacks down to their last chance right there, trailing by 4. 5-3, Tampa in the ninth. 5-1, the Jays over Kansas City in the bottom of the seventh there in the first of two. And the Chicago Cubs all over the Atlanta Braves, 11-0. We'll be right back. In the middle of its move to Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod originates from Tulsa, Oklahoma. There is a discussion of horse racing issues and tips for Kentucky Derby travel from two men who know Louisville very well, Horse Racing Radio Network's Dan Mason and Horse Racing Nation CEO Mark Midland. Santa Anita General Manager Nate Newby talks about what he has learned from a troublesome time the last 2 years, and trainer Brad Cox makes a cameo appearance to discuss Monomoy Girl in this weekend's Apple Blossom Handicap. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available now at VSiN.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and it's sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you, checking the Major League Baseball scoreboard, trying to get this one home with the Nationals and the Diamondbacks, Wes, but looks like a little blooper or an error there with a short little duck snort by the Arizona Diamondbacks to keep them alive here. They're in the top of the ninth inning and trailing 6-2, Washington trying to close this one out. Just one out now and two runners on for the Diamondbacks, and no live line I'm seeing in this one, but Washington still hanging on to a comfortable four-run lead.
One game also has gone final in the early session. This was, of course, the first of two in Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. 5-1 Toronto, your winner. Steven Matz goes 6 of 7 innings, only gives up 2 hits, 1 earned run, walked 2, and struck out 5. So Steven Matz continues his surge here in the early season for the Toronto Blue Jays. Mike Minor takes the loss. 5-1 now, Blue Jays with the win. And then the second game coming up, I believe I'm going to look for the time they're supposed to go off. I believe it's 3:10 Pacific, 6:10 Eastern time. Tommy Malone, the left-hander, going for Toronto. Irvin Santana for Kansas City. A couple of the games that started at the top of the hour already have a run in the Phillies game. 1-0 Phillies. They strike first, I believe. Bases got loaded. Alec Boehm with the base hit scores Reese Hoskins, so 1-0 there. Oakland also has a run in the first inning, a Matt Olson home run off Casey Mize. And 2-0 at the end of one in Fenway Park, where Chicago got 2 runs in the top of the first.
Yeah, so the will there be a run in the first inning cashes on the yes in both of those, in the Oakland game and also the Philadelphia Phillies game. Phillies leading St. Louis 1-0, still batting in the bottom of the first inning. The Chicago Cubs leading the Atlanta Atlanta Braves now 11-1, still in just the sixth inning here at Wrigley Field. Atlanta is obviously a big underdog in this one, as this game has now been taken off the live line, a 10-run advantage for the Chicago
Five
Cubs.
Home runs for the Cubs today as a unit.
Wow. I mean, and you talked about their offensive woes, and they just explode all at once today over Atlanta pitching. Cubs went off as a home underdog in this one, about even money, about plus 100 before this game went to first pitch. And again, out in front 11-1 right now in the bottom of the sixth inning. The New York Yankees and Tampa Bay Rays have been back and forth here the last couple of innings, but Tampa Bay still holding New York at bay 6-3 right now. Bottom of the ninth inning, Yankees down to their last chance here, trailing by three runs. We're right on the number as far as the total of 9. Your in-game total is at 9.5. If you're on the over, you need New York to strike here quickly.
Urshela, Odor, and LeMahieu up for the Yankees in the 8-9-1 spot. Diego Castillo on to try to make the save. He's 3-4 on the season.
You mentioned the Oakland A's 1-0 leading the Detroit Tigers in the top of the second inning. Boston trailing the Chicago White Sox 2-0 in the top of the second inning at Fenway. You and I both kind of like the over in that game, off to a decent start. Your in-game total has ticked up now to 9.5. It was 9 before this game got underway. Also now underway, the Cleveland Indians and the Cincinnati Reds in the second inning. Scoreless between Tristan McKenzie and Sonny Gray so far. Top of the second inning right now with Cleveland at the plate. And again, no score in that one. On the ice, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Buffalo Sabres now about halfway through the second period, just about 10 minutes left in the second frame there, and Pittsburgh out to a 2-1 lead over the Sabres in that one, Wes. And coming up here in just about a couple of minutes down in L.A., we've got the Lakers and the Utah Jazz. And this one, the big story here is really both sides riddled by injury and or days of rest.
Yeah, looking at the lineups that have just been released here, we mentioned that Utah was going to be without several players. Starting lineup for the Jazz, by the way, Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles, who just came back, I believe, yesterday for the Jazz against the Pacers. Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, Irsan Ilyasova going for the Jazz on the Lakers side. Dennis Schroeder, KCP, Kyle Kuzma, Markieff Morris, Andre Drummond. So not a lot of the star players in action today for Utah and the Lakers. I stayed out of it, but it looks like the Lake Show going to close about 2-point favorites, 1.5, depending on your store.
Yeah, before all these injuries or players out of the lineup was announced, the Jazz were about a 5-point road favorite, eventually went to a pick'em, and now at BetMGM, the Lakers have moved to a 1.5-point favorite, as high as 2 in many other shops around town. We'll be right back with more right here on The Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Spring sports betting action is in full swing, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball, NHL, and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds, and analysis for every game at VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly, our online digital publication. Now's the time to sign up for your free VSiN 10-day trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to The Green Zone, presented by BetMGM. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you, and it's a final. We can put a winner in our pocket, Mr. Reynolds. The Washington Nationals get our day started with a ticket that we can cash. They beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-2, and you turned the Chicago Cubs monitor, you turned their game off our monitor here in the studio, and we missed another home run by Las Vegas local Mr. Chris Bryant, a University of San Diego Torero. Now 13-1, Chicago out in front of the Atlanta Braves. Just an absolute whooping they're putting on Atlanta today.
Made the decision in the production truck to go ahead and get you a game, like when you get that blowout in your local market and it's 35-0 late in the third quarter.
For those of you joining us from the Chicago.
We now take you to bonus coverage of something else. It is now 13-1, as you mentioned. That is now 6 home runs for the Cubs today.
The RBC Heritage also about halfway through as far as the leaders, Stuart Sink and Corey Connors in the final pairing today. They are now about halfway through the golf course, teeing off on number 12. And Stuart Sink still out in front by five shots. He's at 17 under par for the tournament, one under on his round today. He leads Emiliano Grillo, who is at 12 under. Matt Wallace, Corey Connors, both at 11 under par. Connors at even par on his round for the day. And Webb Simpson and Colin Morikawa and Abraham Answer, all seven shots back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say Stuart Sink now minus 200 to go ahead and get this home. Colin Morikawa, Corey Connors, 9-1 respectively at BetMGM, and Emiliano Grillo, 14-1. Sun J.M., 18-1. Abe Answer, 20-1. Matt Wallace, low guy in the clubhouse, did nip Webb Simpson by one for that distinction with a 65, 6-under par round. So Matt Wallace currently the leader in the house, tied for third at 11-under. Grillo has cut the lead for Sink to five shots, but nobody's really been able to go catch him, and he hasn't really leaked a lot of oil despite the fact that he's been a little shaky on the greens. Ball striking has stayed true.
Yeah, we saw a lot of low rounds to get your morning started at Harbortown, but the leaders have just been kind of pedestrian, really.
Although, as soon as I say that, Stuart Sink's ball here on 12 is lodged against some kind of branch in a modified bunker here against the tree, as his son Reagan, his caddy, going over to see how they're going to make this work. But that is not an ideal lie here.
The sandy waste areas there, I believe.
Yes.
You can ground your club, as I found out front and center when I was back there in September of last year. Let's take a look at some of the games coming up in the association. Of course, we have the Jazz and the Lakers getting ready to tip it off, but we've got some other marquee games coming up a little later this evening, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. The Golden State Warriors will visit the Boston Celtics, and a couple of hot teams here. Boston has won five in a row. They're in the fifth spot in the Eastern Conference. The Golden State Warriors have won four straight. They're currently in the nine hole out in the West, and the Warriors have been seeing a little money here. Celtics now are 3.5-point favorites with a total of 227.5.
Yeah, and the Warriors have gotten a little bit of the money. I think that's part and parcel of the fact that Jaylen Brown is listed as questionable tonight for the Boston Celtics. You mentioned both of these teams have been hot. Steph Curry been the hottest amongst all of them, an absolute tear over the last nine games, 38.2 points on 54.5% shooting.
Wow.
He does not have the shooting around him like he has in previous seasons, so he has really had to carry the weight for this team, because this is a Warriors offense that's basically kind of middle of the pack and even toward the bottom half of the league. And you see what Steph Curry is doing. Of course, James Wiseman now out for the rest of the season. So the Warriors, I think their biggest advantage really against Boston is being able to score at the rim. About 66% shooting at the rim, top 12 amongst NBA teams. Boston will give up a fair amount at the rim. They're 25th in field goal percentage, giving up about 66% of shots at the rim. So look, what we've seen with the Warriors here, last four games, 125, 116, 147, 119 points. I know a couple of those games are against Minnesota and Cleveland, so not against elite competition, but the defense has still remained true with these guys, 10th in defensive rating. If they can get something else from somebody besides Steph Curry, you know, maybe they have a danger, at least in like a play-in game situation. But I don't think they have enough to really win a series in the playoffs so shorthanded. Celtics, like you mentioned, red hot, five in a row, seven in the last eight, and 9-3 in their last 12. They're finally getting a little bit healthy. And I think the reason is because Jason Tatum has come back from COVID-19. Last 12 games, he's averaging about 28 points a game. So he has been on fire. Jaylen Brown, who's a candidate for the most improved player award, although after what we saw from Julius Randle with the Knicks last night, he may have that thing wrapped up, because I mentioned how good RJ Barrett has been, but he's outshined on his own team by Randle. But nevertheless, Jaylen Brown, I don't know if he is going to play tonight, so that's why you've seen the money for the Warriors. At this standpoint, I probably couldn't take 3.5 when you could have had five. Was leaning early on with the Celtics today, but without Jaylen Brown, think I probably leave this alone.
Pretty good recovery shot there for Stuart Sink. Had that ball up against a twig in a sandy waste area there at the RBC Heritage. He is now just off the green, kind of short-sighted himself. He'll have to do a little scrambling here to get down for par and maintain retain a five-shot advantage over Emiliano Grillo. Also at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, the Memphis Grizzlies will visit the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee just 3.5 games out of first place in the Eastern Conference. They've won 3 in a row. Memphis battling for a playoff spot. They're currently in the 8-hole out west, and they are off of a win. The Bucks, nonetheless, are laying 8 points here with a total of 237.5. Pretty high total.
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily sure where to go with this. Memphis has a couple injuries. Justice Winslow, DeAnthony Melton, Brandon Clark, all downgraded to doubtful. Dante DiVincenzo likely not going for the Bucks with the toe injury tonight. But the question I have with the Bucks is they're very explosive offensively, but when Giannis goes to the bench, their defense really, really suffers, like bottom of the barrel near in the NBA. So that's why I'm a little more high on Philadelphia necessarily than Milwaukee. I think Philadelphia should be the second choice behind Brooklyn in the East. But nevertheless, currently 8-point favorites. I think that number is about right. Total's been bet up a little bit, about a point or a point and a half. So that begs the question, because Milwaukee's defense not very good, but it's a pass for me.
One more game we'll get to in the NBA. It is the nightcap, the Phoenix Suns hosting the San Antonio Spurs. We'll do that on the other side. Also get back to some baseball. Got some games coming at the top of the hour and throughout the rest of the evening on the diamonds. We'll preview those as we continue on the Green Zone presented by BetMGM right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Baseball, basketball, and hockey with risk-free bets up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up and use the bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you back inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. And as promised, want to get to one other NBA preview here. This will be the nightcap on the NBA schedule for your Saturday evening. The San Antonio Spurs visiting the Phoenix Suns, and San Antonio is in that 10th spot in the West, still hanging on by a thread to get into that play-in round. That would be the final spot, the 10th hole there in the West. Phoenix, meanwhile, just a game and a half behind the Utah Jazz in second place in the Western Conference. Suns have won 4 in a row. The Spurs have dropped a pair. Phoenix laying 9.5 here at BetMGM with a total of 227.
Yeah, Suns have been red hot. 4-0 their last four, actually have won 9 of their last 10. This is the getaway game basically for Phoenix, because they have a big East Coast road trip this week. They go to Milwaukee on Monday, Philadelphia on Wednesday, Boston next Thursday. Next Sunday, they'll be in Brooklyn, and then they'll close out with the Knicks. So you got about a week road trip with 5 games on the road against what are likely to be 5 playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. So toughest trip of the season looming for Phoenix going out east. So this is the getaway game. So kind of a little bit of a tricky spot, I think, here for Phoenix. San Antonio has been up and down basically this year, 26-28, like you said, trying to be in those play-in spots. So lean initially here. I have not bet this. There are a couple tens out here in the market if you're here in Las Vegas at stations and also at the Wynn on the Strip. 9.5 basically is the number, though, across the board, including at BetMGM. So lean a little bit to San Antonio, and I may end up betting the Spurs here. I think this is a little bit of a tough spot for the Suns, and being that they're so red hot, they're obviously priced to the moon right now, laying almost 10 at home. You know, maybe Phoenix is kind of thinking, okay, here we got Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Boston, Brooklyn, I think all legitimate contenders in the East, and obviously the Knicks now probably more than likely going to be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. So this is a big deal for Phoenix. This is actually the first meeting between San Antonio and Phoenix. You usually don't get that in terms of conference opponents this late in the season. Usually they've already played a couple times, but first meeting for the Spurs and the Suns, lean San Antonio and Pops guys in this spot.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not going to play the game, but it is a lot of points, and I think the Suns certainly are at the very top of their market right now as far as their stock is concerned. I think they're an exciting team. I'd like to see them make
They've carried
noise.
That momentum over. Remember when they went undefeated, they had that modified playoff thing, that little bubble down in Florida,
yes,
and the
absolutely.
Suns actually went undefeated in the bubble, but were one game short of making the playoffs. So Phoenix, I think they showed some potential. I don't know if anybody thought they were going to be 40-15 at this point in the NBA season, as we're in mid-April on April 17th, but you certainly saw some improvement coming with these guys. But great job by Monty Williams and the GM James Jones, probably front runners to win respective coach and executive of the year at this standpoint, certainly high candidates for both awards.
Yep, absolutely. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we've got more baseball. This is in Colorado at Coors Field. This is 2:10 Pacific, 5:10 Eastern between the visiting New York Mets and the Colorado Rockies. And this is also a doubleheader, so just a 7-inning game. Colorado, of course, was not expected to be good this season. And unfortunately for their fans, there have been no surprises so far. They're just 3-10 on the season. They've lost 6 straight. Now, meanwhile, the New York Mets, they're a couple games short for COVID reasons here, but they are on top of the National League East. They have won 3 straight, and today it is their ace, Jacob DeGrom, facing Chichi Gonzalez. The Mets are a massive road favorite here, -275, and then a short 7-inning total of just 7.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom, if he's going to get run support, finally, you would think Coors Field would be the best platform, or the best candidate for him to do so, and that's why he is such a big favorite here. They just have not been hitting nor scoring runs for him, but you're against a Colorado team that really was expected to be near the bottom of the league, and certainly are with a 3-10 start just far. Chichi Gonzalez, kind of a modified bullpen guy that gets pushed into some occasional starts, and career xFIP in the mid-5s, career ERA over 5. I don't see much of a threat. I don't want to lay 275 really on the road here with Jacob DeGrom. So I could see probably a lot of run lines, I'm guessing, in parlays around town and around BetMGM stores across the country. Certainly wouldn't disagree with that. Second game might be a spot to look for Colorado, assuming that price goes up a little bit. Joey Lucchese making his first start of the season on the road, even against a underperforming and lower grade Colorado team. Still a tough place to make your first road start of the season at Coors Field. So I think Jacob DeGrom finally gets a win here today. He's certainly been tremendous in terms of where he started, a definite Cy Young candidate, just doesn't have a win in the column to show for it. A couple scores to update here in Major League Baseball. Said Casey Mize, you know, can he last a little bit in the game? Well, it's going to be put to the test because Oakland's already touched him up for 3 long balls. Olsen in the first inning, Garcia in the bottom of the second, and also Mark Canna with the solo shot. So we're just now into the top of the third. Swinging A's are swinging on Casey Mize, 4-0 currently.
And Cincinnati out in front of the Cleveland Indians, 1-0 in the top of the third inning there. Cleveland currently at the plate.
My Brownsburg, Indiana guy, Tucker Barnhart with the solo shot in the bottom of the second, and that gives the Redlegs a 1-0 lead over the Tribe.
That's a double whammy for you, an Indiana guy on your favorite
and
team.
And from Brownsburg, my late mother's hometown where she grew up, so good for Tucker Barnhart, a really good guy.
Game 2 between the Blue Jays and the Royals from Kansas City will get underway in a little over an hour from now, 3:10 Pacific, 6:10 Eastern. This will be Malone against Santana, and the Kansas City Royals had their 3-game winning streak snapped in Game 1. The Blue Jays took that one 4-1, your final there. This one in round 2, the Jays a slight favorite here at minus 115 at BetMGM. And again, a 7-inning total here of just 7.5.
Yeah, first start of the season for both these guys, Tommy Malone and Ervin Santana. Don't have any lineups out yet. Currently, the Jays are getting a little bit of the money now, 115 at BetMGM, 7.5 on the total. I want to see if what lineups are going to be coming out and who's going to be resting before I get involved in this one.
At 3:10 Pacific, 6:10 Eastern, it'll also be the San Francisco Giants visiting the Miami Marlins, and Miami's just a half game out of first place in the National League East. They are a game under 500 at 6-7. San Francisco is at 8-5 on the year, but still 3.5 back of the mighty Dodgers in the National League West. This will be Aaron Sanchez going for San Francisco facing Sandy Alcantara. Marlins a minus 135 favorite and a low total here in a good pitching matchup of just 7.5.
Aaron Sanchez has really become, I think, after that Tommy John a couple years ago, more of a pitch to contact, ground ball type pitcher. Obviously, the velo's down and the strikeouts are down, so he's throwing more of his off-speed stuff, more of his curveball, and has been pretty solid to start the season. Miami has been a little bit of a rough luck team, despite the fact that they're only one game under 500. They've had a couple blown saves. They are looking to try to lock down a closer. Anthony Bass blew a couple saves in the first several games for Miami, so really the Marlins and Don Mattingly trying to find that closer. Bass was a setup guy last night, and Garcia got the save in the 4-1 win over San Francisco last night. So just looking at the price here, I thought it was about right here with the Marlins as small favorite. Both guys' ERA is a little bit under 3, and their xFIPs are a little bit under 4. So very equal pitching here, I think, on both sides. Total's gone down to about 7.5. Small lean to the over, but nothing for me.
Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion in this game either. I would like to make a case for the Giants, saying that price might be a little high, but I think these are two ball clubs that are both off to good starts, good pitching matchup, like you say. So I'll stay out of this one and just watch. Current scores, the Chicago Cubs all over the Atlanta Braves. The Braves did add a run, but now 13-2, top of the 7th inning at Wrigley Field with the Cubs out on top in that one as their offense gets going. And Matt, what was that you were telling me earlier? They've scored 34 runs all year and prior to today, and then today they have 13, so almost half their total offensive output today in one game at Wrigley Field. And we aren't done yet. 7th inning, 13-2, Cubbies out in front of the Braves. Your in-game total up to 16.5 here at BetMGM. St. Louis trailing the Philadelphia Phillies in the 3rd inning, 1-0, the top of the 3rd with the Cardinals at the plate there. Philadelphia has moved to a minus 200 favorite in the in-game market. Your total down to 7.5. And the Chicago White Sox and the Boston Red Sox, just 2-0. Chicago put a couple runs up in the first inning, but it is stalled there as far as the scoring, leading the Boston Red Sox at Fenway 2-0, and they're at the plate in the top of the 3rd, West. We expected some more scoring here, but the pitching has settled in.
Yeah, absolutely, and looks like a 2-0 here. Bottom of the 2nd, actually, I think they're through 2 now, so top of the 3rd. Red Sox got a couple runs just on a hit in the 1st inning, so heart of the order, Abreu, Mercedes, and Collins coming up for the White Sox.
And the Oakland A's out in front early and often over the Detroit Tigers. Just the 3rd inning, bottom of the 3rd at the Oakland Coliseum. And it's the guys in green and gold out in front 4-0 over the Tigers. They have moved to minus 1,200 favorites on the money line. And again, just in the bottom of the 3rd inning there in Oakland. The Cincinnati Reds in a good one with the Cleveland Indians. We expected this would be a good pitching matchup between Sonny Gray and Tristan McKenzie, and so far living up to the billing. Cincinnati out in front 1-0, top of the 3rd inning. Cleveland at the plate, and Cleveland is plus 175 on the live market to get this one into the win column. Another hour in the books here inside the Green Zone presented by BetMGM. We'll come back and talk some NBA with our man JVT.